Whoa! Wow, we plunged right in there.
Welcome back to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am Game Master Nathan. My arms are still raised up.
Huzzah!
Now everyone has raised me with their arms up as if
raise
we are here.
Raise your arms and rejoice!
To summon a good game of Dungeons & Dragons.
We call forth the Dungeon Master.
Behind the scenes, we haven't recorded in a little bit, and we were all like, oh, God, how do we play this again? Yeah. And, okay, what's happening? What needs to happen? And so we got to, I'm pushing the energy here, everybody. So let's all introduce ourselves. Let's get friggin' dungeoning and dragoning. I hope this was, I don't know, a good, like, I hope no one's listening to this to, like, wind down.
Yeah, all right.
I guess. Because I want, the energy I want is, like,
hype.
Sports coach. Like, big game, let's go. To my right.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I play Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk, who is a little tired, actually. He's been through quite a bit. He's seen a little bit of a ringer going through for some of his companions. So
it's been a rough morning.
Yeah, yeah. It's also there's the break that we had, so we haven't recorded, and now I had to go back through my notes and be like, oh, right. Yeah, right. Oh, right. Which brings me to the person to my right.
Hello, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin Brightmane, the Dwarven Sorcerer. And in-game, Kaskrin is also feeling tired. Like, we've been through a rough combat. Kaskrin's, like, back. His sciatica is acting up after a long stint of casting magic and stuff. Out of game, David is wondering if anyone listens to our episodes to fall asleep.
I hope not.
Yeah. I hope not either.
Yeah.
What up, everybody?
We've ruined that. It's out the window.
Burr, 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 burr.
And to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid. And his trusty frog pals, Mango, looks at the pile of mud on the floor. Oh.
I thought that was because in our pre-show, we were like, all right, so where did we kind of leave off? And I wanted to ask, like, did I kill Mango last time? I think maybe I did.
And Junior, who's off in another dimension somewhere. So it's just me. But luckily, we have another frog pal in the room with us. Farai Chaturanga Grumbingle.
That's true.
The ghostly Grung. And I'm very excited to see how that works out.
I thought you were going to say Billiam, who also died.
I thought that's where you're going to.
Man, last session went way better for me than I remember. Hell yeah.
Catastrophically low on frogs this time. But to my right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human cleric of the Arcana Domain. And I, Sophie, have had a parody Drock Jam song stuck in my head since Nathan told me to bring the sports rhyme. And it's basketball. Give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it.
I have never heard that before.
Oh, you haven't?
Literally
it's the
entire
NBC
life, and that
NBA.
Feels insane.
It's an SNL skit. And that is just going to be in my head on repeat while I'm trying to act serious about Val dying last time.
Literally died last episode. I'm glad you got into the headspace, Sophie.
See, now you've said that, and now I keep thinking of NBA Jams. He's on fire!
Everyone fucking roll for initiative again. All right. I tried to come in with, fun.
I am fun and hyped!
Too fun! Too fun, Sophie. The stakes are high. Guys, we just got off of a hot combat. Mm-hmm. Literally, in that you guys got mechanically fireballed multiple times, as I recall. Because you guys are in a cell block containing, you don't even know, blobs. Blobs really is as much kind of information as you could tell. But some VIP prisoners, very important person prisoners, including, indeed, the Farai Chaturanga Grumbingle. You guys had a real slugfest of a fight in your attempt to try and remove him from his cell. Luckily, you guys, like, mostly survived in that nothing was permanent, so it's fine. And so that is where we find our fine heroes.
as we're all kind of recuperating from this pitched combat, Checkers is going to walk over to Val, who he sees just shredded to pieces from the coral that was on the ground mere moments ago. And he just goes up to you, and he's like standing a little bit farther away from you, Val.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, Val, good to see you're doing well. But you can tell that like he's feeling really like apologetic and awkward about it. Like, because he's got it in his head that that wouldn't have happened if he hadn't like, you know, summoned all the coral and tried to help that way. But he's like, you okay?
Val will look up at Checkers, give him like a half sheepish smile. And you see like tears welling up in her eye. And she just pulls Checkers into a hug.
Okay.
Like a hug that's like... Yeah, you don't get out of this.
There's no opposed athletics or acrobatics check. You are grappled.
Yeah. And just kind of like whispers to you, it's really good to see you, Checkers.
It's good to see you.
Val does not have enough strength.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Take your breath away.
As good as that sound effect is, Val, everyone in this party has dumped strength. So.
And constitution.
And intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. Hey.
What's your intelligence?
18?
No.
Well, it's my wisdom.
Yeah.
Kaskrin, seeing that Val is okay, he's going to come up and come over to you in a minute. But like in the moment, he's just come down from a very stressful combat. A lot of emotions, a lot of adrenaline is kind of working its way through the system. And so he kind of like does a big old grunt and just kind of like sits down and then just like lays on the floor just to like take a minute after all this. And there's a moment of excitement when he like goes into his pocket and tries to pull out some pocket granola he was saving from Val, only to realize that it's sand.
Yeah.
And he's just like, God damn it. But it's like that kind of deep breathing, that kind of moment. He's just trying to tune everything out. He's just trying to get back to himself. Because it's been a long time since he's fought that hard. And it's probably the first time he's actually thinking, am I getting too old for this?
Selv will respectfully stand back for a minute or two while the others go forward. And after a minute, stands behind Val and puts his clawed hand on her shoulder and looks her straight in the eyes and says,
are you okay?
I feel like Val is openly crying, like not like sobbing, but just tears are streaming down her face, and says, thanks to the Far Eye, I am.
Selv kind of just nods and then full on embrace and like lifts her up.
Yeah.
And Checkers.
And Checkers.
Kaskrin's going to join in on the group hug. And he says, that was so much closer than it had any right to be. If it wasn't for the Far Eye, I don't even want to think about it. I mean,
Val will stick out a hand of the group hug and just motion for the Far Eye to get in here.
The Far Eye is in the corner of this room. And it's not a huge room as we've established. Mostly it's filled with cells and control panels. And he's pretty diminutive, as is the Grung Wei, and is spectral, just like pretty much everything else you've seen. And yet, at the same time, feels weightier in this reality than anything you've encountered. He is looking at you all with big, wet, extra watery eyes, and his hands are clasped under his chin, and he is weeping, looking at the four of you, hugging. And he says, You guys, this was very nice. We should do this again tomorrow. He runs over and gives you all a big hug.
Oh, no.
Do we take damage?
I forgot about that.
We all instantly throw up on each other.
I only have 2 HP, Nathan.
Unfortunately, you guys immediately, for the most part, feel pretty rough.
Stop. Stay over there.
Oh, yep. So it's, apologies. So you're like alive?
Yes, and,
sorry.
You're the first, entity here that, once finding that out, hasn't immediately tried to kill us.
Yeah, that makes sense. They would try to do that to you all.
But not you.
I mean, do
please
you want...
don't. Please, like,
oh, okay.
No, I'm trying to work through why you're different.
I mean, look at me. I'm built different.
Why is the far my favorite?
You know, I'm. Well, I mean, I don't know how much you guys know about me. I mean, you're here. I don't know kind of the situation. I'm flattered. I'm excited. I'm a far eye, and so like I'm pretty cool, pretty awesome, actually, like powerful. Took a little while to kind of fully bring my psyche back together fully. I did go insane for 6 to 7 years. But then I got really back into meditation, and now I've actually reached kind of this nice, like, 20% level of, like, perfect enlightenment. So I'm like, I'm good. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm excited.
Wow. Cool. Can I do that?
Kaskrin is just seeing, the far eye, and he looks at Checkers, and it's just like, I know, it's like a grape standing next to a raisin. Or it's just like, yeah, all right, I see it.
No one asked which is which. We can't. It's really, we can't do that to Checkers or the far eye.
And Self will kind of give a quick little nudge to Cass and just say,
see, meditation.
This guy meditates. Yeah, right. I could tell. I could, and he just like, does two eyes at his eyes, two eyes at, or two fingers itself, back and forth.
Kaskrin will go to the far eye and say, it is a pleasure to meet you, far eye. And it kind of shows that kind of formality, that kind of respect that's due someone of his station. And says, we are here on a mission to come see you. We were hoping that you would have information vital to our present circumstance, vital to helping us take down an ultra giant.
Okay. Lot to unpack. One, thank you. Two, you're welcome. Three,
you're welcome.
Three, how did you know I was here? Four, a what giant or an ultra what?
You see, I, Checkers the Grung Druid, am the chosen of Celestia Dreamweaver. She gave us a vision to try and figure out more about the Ultra Giants. And in that vision, we saw you. We saw a big stone guy. Stone Spine? Marble Man?
Stone Spine.
Marmalade Stone Spine?
And Varala Devale and her Godslayer axe, which hurts a lot. Let me tell you about that.
The far eye, even though you are talking to him, without you noticing, is now a few feet further back away from you guys. where'd you guys say you were from? I didn't catch it.
We are the Golden Tree Adventuring Guild from Agmar.
And to clarify, we're not affiliated with the Dreamweaver. She's just helping us out a little bit.
David, roll me a persuasion check.
Yes, I can. That is a 21.
Okay.
And Castron too, like, I don't, it's not going to matter, but like, he's going to bring out his guild badge and show, like, we're part of one of the official guilds of Rixia. We are not affiliated with the Pentarchy. While Checkers is a special...
Some of us aren't affiliated with the Pentarchy.
You're just jealous.
Yeah.
Castron stands a few feet away from Checkers.
I think some context is important, Farai, if I may. The Pentarchy has fallen.
Great.
There was an event that took place here called Sunfall that...
It's a little unimaginative, but I get that's... Yeah, that's basically what happened, I guess. Go on.
And that event wiped out the Pentarchy. And from the rubble of their empire, their society, new city-states formed. There is no overarching ruling group.
Sick. Good.
Agreed. We live in Agmar, a former Pentarchy city that's been changed for the better. So let me tell you, I can really get into their justice system. It's pretty fascinating by chance.
Would you say you stole the city back?
Well, what if I told you that the Living Legion now are basically like my best friend and they work with the city and protect us and don't kill hordes of people?
Complicated, but I would like to see it. Okay, so first, Pentarchy...
Gone, yeah.
Mostly yeah. Dead, at least.
Mostly dead, yeah.
That's very reassuring. Because I've seen their ghosts, like, a lot of times. Yeah. And I was really worried that they... I mean, you know how those sorts of people are. There's like, oh, I've split my soul into 8 places, and you have to find the secret box that has my... Bleh. But mostly dead. Except for dream talking.
We still have questions about that, too. Oh, but okay. We're... Our goal is in no way to support the Pentarchy. We are here because an Ultra Giant, which first appeared at Sunfall. Sunfall brought Ultra Giants to Rixia.
Oh, the Elementals.
Yes.
Did bad stuff?
Wreaked havoc, yes.
Bad stuff, okay. Indeed. Destroyed the world, basically.
And are still around.
Most of them are asleep. However, there is one that has been woken or freed and is... making its way across Rixia, and we're here to gather information to figure out how to stop this thing.
Okay. And he starts, like, kind of pacing and stroking his froggy chin. Wait, how'd you guys get here? You made it past the Hungry Spirits. Wow, cool. You made it past the city guards. Those guys suck. But, cool. You made it past the ghost snakes? Must be really good.
What if I told you we stole a skyship and that brought us here?
Completely avoiding ghost snakes.
And we basically flew all the way from our home city to here to see you.
And what if I told you that I was the captain of the skyship? And if you're really nice, you can get a ride.
What if I told you? Of course you are.
High five.
And you just like, high five, constitution saving throw.
Ooh, 25.
Oh, sickest high five.
Yeah. Like,
he corporealizes just enough so that while you pass through each other, you still hear kind of a very faint, ghostly, echoing smack of webbed hands high five each other.
You were right, Val. I like this guy.
Okay. He points to Val.
Yes.
I apologize if I'm jumping around a little bit. You'll understand why. How are you feeling right now? Because you were... In case you guys didn't see, she was dead. And then I brought her back.
Which, thank you.
You're welcome. He says, looking at everyone else, but not Val.
Yes, thank you.
Of course, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. I am feeling very grateful and a little worse for wear as she kind of just like... gestures to her shredded clothing. I'm gonna grateful but rough, we'll go with.
at that, the Far Eye gestures, do you mind? No touching, but do you mind?
Go ahead.
And so he just starts kind of like, again, stroking with one webbed hand his froggy chinny chin chin. And with the other, kind of just like absentmindedly twirling his other finger as you see he is casting mending. just while also thinking on Val's person.
Well, that's good. That's very good. I'd always wondered, because I've had a lot of time to wonder, what would happen if the living person died here. I'll be interested to see how you feel tomorrow.
I will keep you posted.
Finger guns.
finger guns.
Crossbows.
While this is happening, the body of the jailer, is that still there?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to try to pick up two things, if I could. First is just a bit of random rubble.
I believe Kaskrin hurled many a rock during the last combat.
Yes.
I think
yes.
that there's some fist-sized debris that you could pick up.
That's fantastic. The other thing I would like to try to get is maybe a small piece of the armor of that suit that it was wearing.
Sure, you guys really fucked him up. You can do that, no problem.
Excellent.
That does bring up an interesting question,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Farai. I mean, how are you still here? I mean, you can cast magic. Like, couldn't you have just escaped from your cell?
Oh, I... Well, I'm going to answer that
in song?
in my preferred order, which is the answering the fun, cool semi-question first. Of course I can escape whatever I want.
Okay.
That's...
Of course you can escape whatever you want, Cass.
Oh my god, why didn't I think of that?
That's how I've spent probably a good 5 straight years here. You see as his gaze just kind of glazes over, shakes his head. I think I have escape plans for every waking hour and minute of the day.
I don't understand, though. If you got out, why would you come back? Did they capture you again?
I'm going to once again answer in the order that I prefer.
Okay, I'll just shut up and you can...
Of course they didn't catch me.
Of course I didn't catch him, Cass. Are you kidding?
What am I doing?
You can roll an insight check to see if he was ever captured.
Cash can only ask dumb questions. He's just going to zip it from now on.
Oh, no. They're good questions in that he there's just
he should have realized.
There's questions that he wants to answer first, which is the cool stuff
of
he did.
Of course he can escape.
But then you're asking good questions that are not as fun to answer, so he's pushing those off.
So the answer to your other lamer questions is... a question of my own. What time is it right now?
Kaskrin checks his sundial watch.
It's probably about, you know, a quarter to noon kind of deal.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Well, it is because you have 15 minutes to leave.
Wait, what?
But we just got here.
And he just starts like, plap, plap, plapping over to the elevator that you guys came in on. And again, you've smashed all control panels, I think, in this entire room. And he starts kind of like scratching in new runes to the elevator, like essentially where the elevator keypad to summon the elevator was, like scribing in ghostly new runes. It's like, yeah, so we're going to have to pick up this conversation tomorrow because Sunfall, right? That's the thing that with the giant guys.
Yeah.
It happens every day at noon. And then it just kind of like, well, I don't know what happens after that. But then I wake up in the cell and everyone but me acts the same. And it sucks.
Well,
I went a little insane for a while there. Again, I'm better now. 20% enlightenment. It's the right level, but...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have now 13 minutes to get out of... how far away do we need to be?
Well, I don't know,
Val immediately casts Sending to Captain Livingstone, saying, get the ship to the tower. We need an escape route ASAP.
And it's at this time, too, Castrin, like, the sudden, like, what do you mean we have to leave right now? He's, like, looking around a bit, trying to see what's going on. And he catches something in the Far Eye's cell.
The Far Eye does a couple last runes, and you see them kind of, like, spark up into life and, like, actively shoot sparks out like they are a sparkler. And he's like, cool, done. Oh, great idea. Everyone, yeah, go with, sorry, what was your name again? Rock Dwarf Guy.
Yeah, Dwarf Guy's pretty good.
Okay, Guy Dwarf. Join Guy Dwarf in my horrible, horrible cell.
Dal runs over to the cell.
Is this where he's going to trap us in here?
Well, he said he wanted to know what happens when a living creature. Yeah.
And so you guys all circle around this, and it is essentially a fairly simple mirror-looking thing, except instead of glass, it projects an image of a long tunnel. And it is a little trippy because you're looking kind of straight down. It is just out on the floor in front of you guys. And you look down, and it takes you a second to realize you are indeed looking down, because far below you is some flickering torches. And you see an entire vast, dark room absolutely filled with arcane runes and markings. And the whole room now is starting to very gently glow with arcane energy, highlighting all of this intricacy. There are dozens of figures all around this room. A big circle to a smaller circle to a smaller circle, over and over. Until the very middle. There are very clearly five individuals at the very center, at the very apex of this ritual space. And now, though it is a bit muffled and a bit unintelligible, you can hear chanting. Farai says, so that's the Pentarchy. And there, what they're doing is what causes the sunfall. I've tried a lot to make it not. It pretty much always does.
Do you know what they're trying to do that then results in the sunfall? You can answer that later.
I think maybe yes. I think maybe they lightly magically tortured some information out of me that I think leads me to believe that it's all kind of connected. So I'm kind of seeing the strings of why you guys are here and why that jerk Dreamweaver sent you here. God, I really want to just kick her in the shins.
I have complex feelings about it, too. Do we need to leave?
Sundial says 9 minutes. We got to get out of here.
The elevator doors, as you recall, they are made out of mini obelisks and just kind of like stone against stone start to open up. And he says, okay, so tomorrow I'll get out and I'll just like look for your skyship. And we'll meet somewhere in the city. I need you all to listen very, very carefully. Timing is very precise. All right. Do you all have like a sundial watch system?
Val points to Cass. It's an audio medium.
Timekeeper.
Kaskrin hands out three others so we can all synchronize our sundials.
You synchronize watches right in this moment. And he says, okay, it's really late, so you got to keep moving. But I've done this before. Even honestly, I've done it later than this. So, like, you're still technically okay. Listen very carefully. And then the Far Eye Grumbingle launches into a hyper precise moment by moment explanation of how you get out of the tower and get to a place, essentially a level of the tower, where you hopefully will be able to be picked back up. before we get into it, Val, you mm-hmm. sent a sending. You got an affirmative, you know, kind of an aye, et cetera.
I feel like Captain Livingstone just said like, aye, and then all Val heard of the next 24 words was just him giving orders.
Giving orders.
He just didn't know how to turn it off.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
But I will let you all decide in this moment, which is obviously very detail-oriented, very high stress. You, for the first time, have left a crew of pirates semi-alone. Obviously, there are members of the Bones that you have left behind with them. And your hope was that, you know, their presence there would be enough to kind of keep things shipshape. You guys, this is the first time that your crew's loyalty has been kind of really put to the test. Barring fully running away or, you know, actively sabotaging you as you were fighting against Eldritch Horrors. And, well, a lot riding on this. And for you all and the listeners at home, I have a little spreadsheet. I've been tracking things behind the scenes. Kind of as an old school loyalty mechanic.
Nice.
That will decide some things in this moment.
This reminds me so much of the ending of Mass Effect.
It's only going to get more Mass Effect for the rest of the campaign, I think, probably.
Hell yeah.
We've been playing Mass Effect for 4 years.
Yeah.
Here's where it culminates.
Essentially.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the mid-roll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show as well as our new Reckless the Snack series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
So, here's what's going to happen, players. I, Nathan, have prepared some specific settings and floors for you to get through. I have not told you what these are, but the Far Eye has told you what they are. I'm going to explain to you what everyone kind of sees in front of them. And then one of you will tell me the hyper-precise thing that the Far Eye has told you guys is required to hit your marks, essentially. It could be a, hey, at exactly 40 seconds at this moment, the guard turns around, and you, as long as you give him a big enough wedgie, you can just run past him and it's fine. Whatever version of that seems interesting for you and your character, it doesn't even have to be your character specifically solving them. It is just like, this is the solution to this room that, again, is you just like perfectly going through every moment. The elevator doors open. Maybe some of you wondered if this was some sort of a grung prank when this was the first floor you were told to go to. But the doors open and you are immediately hit with a disgusting smell.
No.
It smells... You have maybe caught a very slight whiff of this smell before. But this really feels, like really kind of baked in, I guess is what I'll say. Because the doors have opened, and in front of you, in a variety of cages and pens, and out in the open, is the wyvern floor. In front of you, you see wyverns of all sorts of shapes and sizes. You know that this was an important part of the Pentarchy, one of the actually members of the Pentarchy that was kind of her whole deal was wyverns. Interestingly, there are, like, open windows all around. You didn't see a single window. You went up, literally, all the way up and down this place, and yet there's windows here, I guess. And you see there are a couple of trainers who are, you know, pretty preoccupied with whatever's going on. You see various, like, crates full of, we'll say, wyvern toys and treats. You probably see a, you know, how to put this, a barrel full of meat that you don't want to look at anymore. But you know how to get through this place if the info's correct, if you can kind of nail your cues just right. No problem. Easy peasy.
So Self kind of nods at the others and steps partway through the door and reaches around to the side and grabs a toy from one of these barrels of toys and snacks that are kind of by the doorway there. And he gives it a good three count and then lobs it up into the air at the third cage holding some wyverns. The wyvern sees the toy flying through the air and its tail whips up and it tries to stab the toy to bring it into the cage. However, it misses, and it actually hits the wyvern in the cage next to it, which then makes that wyvern turn on it and try to stab it with its stinger. And during that commotion, that brings two of the handlers that were by the door, by the exit, to this cage where they're trying to calm them down. And that gives us enough time to slide by the other side of the room and get out the door on the opposite end.
Yep, the whole place is in chaos. Again, it smells off. Like, it is a combination of, like, acid and guano. Like, it is awful in here. But no problem. You have found a set of stairs that leads you further down to your goal. You descend the stairs. And you make kind of the final turn into the room that is right below you. And it opens up into a stairway up inside of a black void. No railings. There's no Pentarchy OSHA. And it's just a single stairway that leads upwards to another doorway. Along the side of this, on no discernible wall, are a series of torches that are lit and unlit with a variety of different colors. And then a big watching Pentarchy eye stamped on the door in front of you. This is clearly a, you know, restricted area kind of trap where the people who work here know what to do to, like, easily get through it. It's like scanning your badge kind of thing. But if you guys went up this way, you'd be puzzling for a little while. Luckily, Farai's done it for you.
Val steps forward, remembering in her mind the path forward. Instead of taking the staircase right in front of them, she goes to the left of it, and right under the, like, pink torch, starts scooching along the wall while grabbing that torch, and then parallel to the fifth step, walks across a beam that spans the whole room, places the pink torch where the blue torch was, grabbing the blue torch, and then actually has to jump back because the balance beam is now gone, skips the seventh step, pulls the green torch.
Secretly a lever
that has a second torch holder. So the blue torch is there. Val no longer is carrying a torch. And it actually has to slide down back to the fifth step where the beam is back. And she can walk back to the stairs and then can walk forward.
Everyone unerringly follows these precise steps.
Wait, Val, can you do that one again?
everyone is remembering and thankful where it's like, ah, that's right. That's where we had Val remember this one. And through a complicated series of steps, which, again, you're not sure if this is a Grung prank where it's like, is this really the solution? Is the solution somehow hidden in this? Was this just kind of a fun thing?
When we had to do the cartwheel over the beam again, I was just like, no way, this is...
It's actually just like a little switch on the wall to turn the whole thing off.
But it was just a green torch all along.
Well, yeah. But Farai didn't know that and figured this out.
And certainly, this can't be something that everyone does every day, clocking into work, right? Like, sure, you know, you do these complicated things, and then the spectral eye in front of the door winks at you, and then just kind of creaks open.
Like in a... a seductive way?
I'm not going to roll for it.
Depends how good that cartwheel is.
That's the judgment. Is that it doesn't, you just have to participate in doing a cartwheel, but if it's a flirty wink, that's, you have to roll acrobatics, unfortunately. We don't have the time for it, David. You all see, you all peer inside of the room. Inside, at first glance, a library. Just shelves.
You already shot your shot.
probably 100 yards deep. Just shelf, 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 all the way up on the sides, going all the way up to the ceiling. And you go through and you realize pretty quickly, these are not books. And it strikes you as, how did I even think that these were books for a moment? Your vision shifts and it is actually... Sorry, everyone. It is stacks and stacks of pressed brains. Different sizes, different shapes, different colors, different amounts of tissue, shall we say, different conditions, that sort of thing. All moist, all quite moist, maybe slimy a little bit, but stacked up. Again, imagine a bookcase, but instead of every book, it is a brain. That's what you are walking into. You were told there are attendants in here, not just of the scientific variety, but of a more spooky nature as well. But depending on what the far eye told you, you might not have to worry about this at all.
I feel like I now feel like what people feel like when I brought up my gross things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. I mean,
this is a gross thing I don't like.
They're very respectfully stacked. Like, if they had a Dewey Decimal System, you'd be like, well, at least they're well kept, these stacks.
Blah.
So the library, surprisingly, was Checker's expertise. He was ready. He was ready for this one.
Sure.
Because much like the filing system that we have in Agmar, all of these brains are actually flying around the library, being reshelved into their proper place. And what has Checker's been doing in the library? He's been riding those books like a roller coaster. So he tells everyone, all right, grab on, everyone. And he, like, prepares them. He, like, hops on top of one of the flying brains, is like going around the library to get reshelved, and he's like, Val, now, and you, like, hop on another one. It's like, Cass, go. Val, that one's yours. And he's like calling out to everyone the different flying brains that they have to hop onto, and like he's, you know, doing aerial maneuvers, like hopping onto another one. He's like, Val, jump now, hurry. As we're flying around this library on all these reshelved brains trying to get to the other side.
Well, I didn't include that detail, world-building detail, for a reason, Jonathan. That's even worse.
Yeah.
At one point, as you guys are flying over the stacks, again, unerringly, other than it's a little slippery, and it's a little tough, you just see a giant flesh golem that has way too many arms in a, you know, clearly this is like magical libraries have a type, and it's weird creatures with too many arms, just kind of look up and like furrow its multi-people worth of brows.
Oh.
And sees you flying over top of it.
And that's when we see all the furniture is like covered in skin and the table.
You don't have to make it worse.
I was kind of hoping this whole thing would be a no-brainer.
And eventually you get to the other side of this brain repository and all kind of like just tumble through the next doorway, and immediately the door behind you is gone. But you were expecting that. You knew that. The door's gone. It's fine. You probably didn't want to go back in there anyway. And you find yourself under a beautiful sunset sky. Orange, purple, lovely clouds, but not too many clouds. Just enough clouds to kind of catch the sun from the huge open sky that you see before you. You can't really get a lot of detail of exactly where your bearings are because you all find yourselves in a field of corn that is 7 feet tall. There's a moment where you're kind of getting your bearings again. You knew this was here. You knew this was going to happen. I appreciate, David, that you're like looking at me being like, what is he going to tell me now? What's happening?
Because I'm like, I have to do this one.
I'm the last
one. What do I deal with this now?
What's going on? And it takes a second. because you know you have to wait.
Yeah.
Because that's when the first crow lands. And looks down at you. We'll say, for the sake of ease, looks down at Kaskrin and asks in a horrific, scratchy human voice,
"Have you called your parents lately?"
And another one lands, looks at Val.
"Have you gone to the gym?"
Lands fully on Checkers.
"Your skin's a little dry."
There are several circling around Selv.
"Who have you disappointed lately?"
And more start swarming and asking uncomfortable questions. Not menacing questions, but uncomfortable questions. And you know you gotta get out of here.
Yeah, and like Far Eye prepared us for this. He's like, "All right, this one might be one of the worst rooms. Just gotta keep it together." Just,
it's like not dangerous. It's just like, yeah. I don't like it. It's bad. As more and more crows descend and their chorus of uncomfortable questions continue, you all look around and you are no longer yourselves. You are crude approximations of yourselves. In scarecrow form. You still have full ambulation. Kind of like, imagine the turnip head in Howl's Moving Castle. You can kind of like, you know, hop and gesture. But it is as if there are four scarecrows dressed as your characters.
And there's just like, unfortunately, there, Grumbeagle just did not have a super clever way to get through this. It's like all the other ones have been, do this, do that, in this precise order. This one was just like, just run for it.
Yeah. Ignore so, this. Yeah. Just
this room sucks. Just and so there's a moment where like the camera is like panned out super far, and you just see four scarecrows ambulating as fast as they can, just parting the 7-foot-tall corn like the Red Sea. All of a sudden, a whole flock of these black crows that's like chasing them, and it's just like, "When was the last time you went to the dentist?"
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's a mole on your skin that looks a little weird.
Precisely. Yeah. And again, you understand why it's like, just get the fuck out of this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awful, actually.
Yeah.
So you guys are just booking it in through these fields and just running, and you know what's about to happen. You kind of know when it's going to happen, but suddenly, it goes from a lot of very tall corn, which again, none of you can see over because you're all very small, to free falling.
Oh no.
And you have a moment of tumbling down. Again, you are have very little control of your flight path because you are made of straw. And down below you, a river runs rapidly. And just as you smack down into the wet water, you guys find yourself on an outcropping, on an obelisk on the outside of the tower. Fully yourselves, fully looking out at the sky.
And Kaskrin, in the last few moments that we have, like, he puts his fingers to his mouth and like blows that shrill, loud whistle, trying to call Captain Livingstone to their position.
You guys are pretty high up. You didn't go to the ground floor. You just kind of got to the outside as quick as possible. And there's an awkward few moments until you hear the twin roars of fire burning and a pirate captain yelling very loudly. You all see, kind of coming around the bend, a really tight corner around this obelisk, the Sky Stalker. "Oh, pull up there! There they are! Down with the ropes! We need to get out of here!" You all see big, heavy ropes drop down right in front of you. "Clamber aboard! We'll take off while you're in the air! Hold on tight!"
And I'm imagining, too, like, we don't even have time to get up all the way to the ropes. Mm-mm. So, like, as we're flying, we're just grasping onto these ropes.
Maybe a big net, like a big net that they've turned over, right. So you can just kind of, like, tangle yourselves in.
I was going to say, Val is in no way climbing up that rope. Yeah. Val is just holding on and expects somebody to pull her up.
Yes, precisely. Mm-hmm. And it is a hot pickup. They kind of like slow down more than stop. It is very much a drive-by. And eventually this net starts being just pulled up. And you see the reason that you were able to be pulled up very quickly is the two members of the Bones are manning this net and grab each of you one by one, at least those who are not climbing over themselves due to, I don't know, like sticky webbed hands or monk-like skills or what have you, but are fully bodily grabbing you and kind of hauling you onto deck as you guys are screaming. You guys can feel heat coming up through the deck as the ship pours on more and more speed. Captain Livingstone is still just yelling out as much little things to eke out as much performance out of his beautiful, beautiful skyship as he can. And that is when noon hits.
Oh, no.
You guys escape the footprint of the ghostly city, and the sky turns black. Who all turns around to watch the apocalypse?
Checkers for sure. He's watching Sunfall.
Big time.
Yeah. Like he stares directly into the sun.
No, no, not the eclipse goggles or anything. He's like, no, oh, you know, yeah. I want to see this.
I think Self will watch, but we'll also have the two pieces that he had taken from inside the prison, kind of have those out and just to see if they hang around after sunfall, if sure. they disappear, if they turn solid, you know.
Kaskrin is just wearing the sunglasses that Val gave him to stare into the sun.
Val will definitely watch, but like feels a little bad about it, where it's like she can't watch without thinking about the people she saw on the street.
The reality of the situation.
Yeah.
I think while people are still doing their jobs, I think there is one single person on the entire ship who isn't looking, and that is Captain Livingstone manning
cool
the
guys,
helm.
Cool guys don't look
at explosions. Because cool guys don't look at explosions.
Why is he so cool?
Yeah.
And so, the only thing you can see, including each other, including your own hands in front of your face, is one of the two sons of Rixio, the smaller one. Except it looks different. Instead of being, you know, kind of a bright, beautiful, flaming orb, it now exudes a pale yellowish light. And it starts to descend in the sky. As it does, it gets bigger and bigger until it reaches a perceived horizon. And other than the curvature of Rixie itself, now the only thing that you can sort of see is the black, shadowy outline of Narhasar, complete with the large obelisk. The light clicks back on, but the color is gone. On all of you, on all of your surroundings, it is just this strange yellow tinting everything. And that's when you feel a pull. You guys are outside of the city, so you don't feel it too badly, but an echo of it still hits you. As imagine the feeling of a vacuum sucking up all the air, but instead of air, it is your soul. You know innately that's what's being tugged on, even for you, who isn't actually there. And there's this howling sound that kicks up as this is happening, filling your ears. Until 13 motes of light descend. And they spin around like little dandelion petals, twirling around one another, each a different color, each growing larger. And as they do, you feel more and more of that tug on your life force until they make landfall. Wherein, even now, in this echo, as you are still barreling away from the city, you all are at least knocked backward, if not off of your feet, in a huge explosion. As you all look back, the city is gone. It is a crater. It is the same crater that you approached, that you've been seeing for quite a while now on your approach. And there's a moment of eerie stillness as the death and decay around this crater starts reaching little tendrils out further and further. And then you see incomprehensibly huge hands start to emerge around the rim of the crater as ultra giant after ultra giant pull themselves up into our world. And then the sky is clear. Before you is an empty crater. Below you, a wasteland that has been this way for decades. And you presume sometime tomorrow will be once again filled with the ghost city of Nirhasser and all that it contains. And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Sick.
See you then. Bye, everyone.
Characters. What is my character?
Checkers.
Everyone go around, do the your character druid. Voice.
Hello.
I don't have one.
Hey. I'm David.
Testing, I'm testing. Casper. 1, 2, 3.
I actually hated both of them for very different reasons.
Ha-cha-cha. I'm glad white Ewoks are.
All right, I'm going to pack up.
Cool. All right, good.
Good seeing you today. Right,
I guess we're doing the ship battle scene from Star Wars. Today.
Now we can finally start our pirate campaign. Yeah. Nathan's gone.
Now, Jonathan, checkers cannot canonically steal
no?
the Ewok song. We will
Did you
all
copyright
know.
It?
Yeah, you don't have the trademark. Yeah.
Ewok chaos song, TMTM.
And Jonathan has the most control of literally anyone as to
what
when
makes
the public sees
that's true.
This, yeah. This hot new IP. So
yep, I'm going to cut Sophie's entire character out of the whole
or Jonathan, yeah. Alternately, if you want, I'm very, very happy to be a voice of record and record something like, oh my God, Sophie, that is so hack of you
yeah.
to steal Jonathan's
yeah. perfect
reckless attack yeah. checker song
this
for
feels,
your Ewok character.
Actually, it feels like a hostile takeover yeah. of yeah. Sophie's IP.
Yeah.
What would be really funny is cut the Ewok, but leave in everything that happened right. because of
exactly.
the Ewok.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's how that
like,
works.
There's an explosion. I was like, where is...
I'm going to go re-release episodes happened. 1, 2, and 3 to include the new Checkers theme song.
Always yeah. been there. Uh-huh.
You see Checkers riding on the back of the wagon going, ha, cha, 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 cha.
You could call it Yub Dub.
Yeah.